This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Julian. Now, all eyes are going to be on the Prime Minister, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, today when he announces the second economic stimulus package aimed at alleviating the impact of the COVID-19 outbreak. Now, we've asked you what you think about it. So we're on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio. We're running a poll. Should the second stimulus package focus more on individuals or businesses? We've had about 90 votes. 61% have said it should focus more on individuals, 27% said on businesses. Continue to let us know what you think, because various economists and commentators have weighed in on what the country needs at this time of crisis. And earlier this week, we spoke to Hamdan Abdul Majid, the managing director of Think City, just before the MCO extension was announced. He co-authored an open letter to the Prime Minister with Dr. Nungsari Ahmad Radi, chairman of Khazanah Research Institute, and Dr. Mohamed Abdul Khalid, former economic advisor to the Prime Minister, on the action needed. So the government has announced several measures to alleviate the economic burden among Malaysians, especially lower-income households. So we asked Hamdan for his thoughts on the economic measures so far.
I think it's a good measure that the government is taking note of the fact that there is a case of a need to provide some form of income support for the lower-income households. This crisis is not going to disappear in the coming 2 weeks. It's going to be there for a much longer period. And there's a need for us to actually prepare and face the challenge that's coming. I believe this COVID crisis is something that none of us have had the experience managing and seeing through. Now, this is not unlike a flood or a tsunami, but rather this is a global pandemic. And globally, we are now seeing everyone is scrambling for action and rushing to do what is necessary to protect the citizens, to do all that they can to ensure that life can continue, lives can be saved, our daily routines can continue to have continue to exist and have food on the table. And similarly, I believe that the government is definitely trying its effort to do so, but there are gaps in what is being done today. And that probably is a result of differences of views. Our viewpoint is that the crisis is going to be one that's going to be intense, deep, and prolonged. And there's a need to then to prepare and plan for something that is not only for the 2 weeks, but rather for a longer period. And there's a need to ensure that we have a proper emergency response plan and followed along by a proper economic support program.
Hamdan also outlined the major areas the government should prioritize to respond to the outbreak.
We need to ensure that the medical frontliners are provided for. There's adequate equipment, supplies, and things are provided for. That's paramount. Secondly, is that with movement control, people are restricted. Daily wage earners are affected, particularly the bottom 40. How do you ensure that there is cash in their hands to allow for them to have normalcy to go through this crisis? And let's plan for a longer period whereby this goes beyond the 2 weeks. And how do we respond to ensure that people have cash and food on the table? Third, I think we need to ensure the economic supply chain that is there functions and ensure that we are able to have food on the table for the period beyond the 2 weeks. As adequate amount of social safety net that we can go through this crisis together. And most importantly, last, we need to communicate all of our actions and ensure that people have full trust in the government and feel that they are in control and work with the government, because it is not something the government alone can overcome. We need to have a whole country, a whole nation approach to ensure that we go through this with minimal impact and minimal disruption to our lives.
And that was Hamdan Abdul Majid, Managing Director of Think City. Now, he was saying that we need to plan for the possibility that the MCO would be extended beyond the initial 2 weeks. And of course, it has been extended. But Hamdan and his co-authors in their open letter also suggested to prepare for a much longer term period, at least 12 to 18 months of disruption. So for further insight now into what a more comprehensive stimulus package might look like for Malaysia, this morning we turn to Professor Nur Ain Shahir, Professor of Economics at Sunway University. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Professor. So Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin has said that he'll announce a more comprehensive stimulus package today with a promise that no one is to be left behind. So what do you think we can expect out of this package?
Yes. Good morning, Lynn and Julian. Definitely, this package will be more comprehensive and economic-wide. In the earlier 2020 economic stimulus package that was tabled on 27 February, the focus was on sectors that were directly and adversely affected by the COVID-19 pandemic: services sectors, tourism, hospitality, transportation, health sector, and also manufacturing sectors that experienced supply chain disruptions. But unfortunately, at present, we are not only battling this COVID-19 pandemic, the oil price has plunged down severely to about $25 per barrel this month. And that also affects the government revenues and those in the oil and energy industries. So the rescue package will still be on employees and businesses that are directly affected, mentioned earlier. But now considerable considerations will also be on those in the oil and gas energy sectors as well. But in addition to that, as Hamdan had pointed out, we have MCO that is now affecting disproportionately workers in informal sectors, daily wage earners, small business owners and low-income households. This includes taxi drivers, Grab drivers, farmers, restaurant owners, street vendors, nasi lemak or pisang goreng sellers. So these are the groups of people that and businesses that pretty much will be focused in this package.
Professor, we've seen the stimulus packages announced around the world, especially from the United States, and this seemed to be centering around 10% of GDP. What is the number that you're expecting for Malaysia in terms of how many billions of ringgit will be announced by the Prime Minister?
So for Malaysia itself, we need the number would vary across different countries depending on the fiscal space that we have. In the last government stimulus, it was roughly about 20 billion. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes, roughly about 20 billion. So the government stimulus package will vary across countries, and any amount that the government has put forward, it will not be far off from that 20 billion, because we have to take into consideration the fiscal positions of the government as well.
So that seems like quite a small number, and that probably would not be pushing the needle in terms of economic support, because we've spoken to a lot of associations and they are demanding and a lot of observers are also suggesting that you need to support the workers. So that the bill for that would be quite high, wouldn't it?
Yes, definitely it will be very high. And currently, I think the government is laying out the stimulus packages that will cover 3 to 6 months, for example. But if the impact is going to prolong, definitely the government, we are going to see that in the future, government will announce more stimulus package. But at this juncture, there are so many uncertainties. So the interventions that the government is taking is to tackle the immediate effect of this pandemic, as well as the plunge in the oil price.
And of course, there is also the underlying concern that unemployment rates may shoot up. So what can feasibly be done to avoid this happening?
So definitely to avoid the unemployment rates going up, the stimulus package design needs to prioritize unemployment. And it also needs to look into the long-term solutions, not only the short-term measures. First, we need to ensure firms have enough cash flows to pay workers and suppliers, especially small SMEs, and to avoid bankruptcy. Unemployment is a structural issue that can have more lasting damage to the economy and sharper downturn. If you take Singapore as an example, their resilience budget focuses on 3C, cash flows, credits and costs to business owners in order to avoid unemployment doubling. Another measure is work sharing. Instead of laying off the employers can reduce their working hours or take unpaid leave and use the SOXO payments to cover up the differences. When the recovery kicks in, those firms are able to ramp back up quickly rather than having to recruit and train new workers.
And do you favour more direct handouts or very cheap loans given to corporations to support workers?
I think it will be equal to individuals, to employees, as well as to the corporations as well. The stimulus package vary across countries depending on the intended objectives and targets. The Australia, for example, and the UK, the US, they are more business-oriented, while New Zealand, UK, they are more employees-oriented. I would say that in the case of Malaysia, we are we are focusing both on the employees and the corporations.
So what other possible additional measures might we see on top of this second stimulus package? Does the government have the capacity to pump out more money to assist those affected by the outbreak?
I think the government still has the capacity. The good thing is, despite the fact that our fiscal space is very limited and we are experiencing fiscal deficit, but our bond market rating is still in the positive outlook, BBB. So the government can still raise funding in the bond market.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Professor. That was Professor Noor-Ain Shahrir, Professor of Economics at Sunway University, with her thoughts on what we can expect out of the second economic stimulus package that is due to be announced later today. So, Professor Ayn's thought is that we're going to see in the realm of about 20 billion, same as the previous package, and that it's going to be evenly distributed amongst individuals and businesses. But right now, we are about to head into the 8 o'clock news bulletin, and after that, the breakfast Grill, where Roshan Kanisen speaks with Alexander Capri, a visiting senior fellow at NUS Business School. Stay tuned for that after the news. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.